Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackaway and sitting next to me is James Bunnell. James, we promised the listeners we were going to have an answer. What is the catch?
Well, so again this week, no one knows. We have no idea.
Yeah,
apparently a catch is anything that would not... How do I phrase this? It's the thing where things that aren't catches are the things that would make the audience most mad. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Do you think that's intentional?
I think it is. I would say yes, but not on the part of the referees. I want to cut them some slack. I think it's intentional on the part of the NFL in general.
Just to keep us talking about it.
Just to keep us talking about it. And because they hate fun and goodness.
Reasonable. Who doesn't?
Well, I mean, me, for instance.
Yeah,
but
I think that's fair.
It's one of the things we disagree on.
We said we were going to have a proposal, but I don't know. It's really tricky. Like, the hard part is figuring out how to not wind up with a lot of fumbles.
Yeah.
So you start calling more things catches, you start getting more catch and fumbles.
Are those bad, though?
I mean, I enjoy them.
Yeah.
But they're bad. They bring down scoring, and that's what the NFL...
They bring down scoring, but they bring up excitement, right? Like, the NFL thinks their whole premise is that scoring is good because it raises entertainment value, but fumbles are entertaining, too.
All right, so like, let me give you a proposal, then.
Yeah.
It's a catch if...
Yeah.
Ready? You take the ball into your hands.
Yeah.
And turn your body.
Yeah.
Or with your body on inbounds.
Yeah.
Bring it to the ground without dropping it on the ground.
I like it.
I think that's simple enough and could actually maybe work.
Yeah.
But it would be more fumbles. Because a lot of those catch and fumbles happen when they catch it and they twist around and then the
and
guy comes
cluttered.
And punches
it
out.
So. Those should probably be fumbles.
Yeah,
I just think
should.
That they
really would
should
be. They would be under that proposal. All right, let's get to it. James, we have got another division rivalry for this week that we were able to do. So far, we've only missed one week where we weren't able to do it. It's really not that bad.
I should have believed in you. We've been doing really well.
It's been
about
good.
This.
And with no planning, which is the critical
the
part.
The best, yeah. Because if there's one thing this podcast stands for...
It's not planning.
That is correct.
It's planning for your fantasy team, but not for itself.
Yes.
That's
no,
the whole
we
premise.
Don't... No, yeah.
All right, well, so I've got the Miami Dolphins. You're going to do the Jets in a moment, and let me hit you with the haiku preview of the Miami Dolphins. This is an unusually player-based one for me.
Okay.
And that's because of the first line.
Okay.
Which I think you'll enjoy.
I'm excited.
Ndamukong Suh. As long as you pronounce the N.
Yes. No, and you should.
Ndamukong Suh was the splashy addition. Rashad Jones is the star.
Ooh, I like it. That was good.
Which my computer apparently autocorrected to Reside Jones.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big autocorrect.
Well, he now resides.
He now resides in Miami. That's true. So, why do I say that? I say that because we talked a lot about Sue in the offseason. And by we, I mean the collective football consciousness.
He was,
I think, fair to say, the prized free agent for this free agency,
absolutely.
As there usually is. And they're paying him tons and tons of money.
He was definitely the most expensive free agent.
He was definitely. And he's somehow getting like $10 million from Detroit, too, right?
Yeah, he is both the first and fourth most expensive defensive contract this year, thanks to the money he's getting from...
Yeah. And with that, he's the fourth best defensive tackle for fantasy. It's not bad.
I mean, it's not what he's being paid to be, but...
Well, I think he's been... I mean, maybe not worth it, but he's been very good, I think, from what he does for their team. Beyond that, for this team, Rashad Jones is the number one safety in our scoring.
Yeah.
And obviously a comfortable starter all the time.
Yeah.
And they've got some linebackers who are kind of borderline when they're healthy, which is to say Jelani Jenkins and Koa Misi are both pretty good when they're healthy, but not, like, top players. And that's kind of it. Brent Grimes will get you an interception here or there, but not a super reliable guy. Cameron Wake was put on IR. We talked about him a lot over the course of this year.
Yes, we have.
I guess we're finally done talking about him.
When he was healthy, he was good.
Yeah, he was.
And now he's not healthy.
And it's a problem for them, honestly, because he was only healthy really a couple games this year. And the result is that their defense is not great. They are roughly 24th overall in terms of expected points. They're marginally better against the run than against the Sorry, they're marginally better against the run than against the pass, but only marginally. And they're just in that bottom third, and they're just not... They're not great.
Just not great.
It turns out that Ndamukong Suh isn't enough. You know, I think they've taken a real step down in the secondary. They're getting beat deep a lot, even with Rashad Jones there. It's actually part of why Rashad Jones is doing so well.
Yeah.
Is because he's getting a lot of tackles as players get past the cornerbacks.
Makes sense.
Including Brent Grimes, although Brent Grimes has been pretty good, but their other side has been a mess.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, and they haven't had a reliable pass rush because Cameron Wake has been injured most of the year and is now out for the year. And it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to get better, to be honest.
I don't think so either.
So that's it. I mean, you've basically got two useful starters and a couple dart throws. And in fact, I'll probably be recommending a defensive end from them in the pickups in a little bit. Just because with Cameron Wake on IR, it does make sense to at least hope that someone steps into that role. But not super optimistic about it.
No, that's a good plan. That's a good plan. Let me hit you up with some J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Let's do it.
They've got good defense. The Marcuses are ball hawks. So why are they bad?
Why are they bad is the principal question about the Jets for me this year.
Yeah.
It seems like they should be good.
It does. In fact, let me give you a couple of the reasons why it seems that they should be good. As a football team, they have allowed the fewest first downs in the NFL. They are tied for first with the most fumbles recovered of any team in the NFL. Muhammad Wilkerson has, like, 7 sacks on the year and 6 passes defended. He's playing like a bat out of hell. They have allowed the lowest completion percentage to opposing quarterbacks in the NFL, and they have allowed the fewest rushing touchdowns to opposing teams in the NFL. These are all things that you would hear these stats, and you would think, my God, this should be the greatest team in the league right now, and yet they're bad. They're really bad.
Well, but how much so is their defense bad, or is it just that their offense is that bad? Because their defensive advanced stats are fine.
Yes. No, their defensive advanced stats are fine, and their defense is actually quite good. It's just that offense is... It's just terrible.
You want to guess what position overall, combined offense and defense, the Football Outsiders has them in?
I don't know. Top 5?
Not quite, but 7th.
Okay.
It's pretty good. And for defense, it's higher.
Yeah, for defense, every advanced metric I could think of, they're in like third or fourth place or leading. It's like, it's insane.
So we basically say they're bad because their record's been bad.
Yes.
Let me put a proposal out there.
Hit me up.
All the teams are bad this year.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That makes sense. I've watched some football this year, and it's all looked pretty bad.
And I'm not only am I hitting you with that proposal, I have stats to back this up.
All right, let's do it.
Which is to say that last week, the stat I saw was that fully a third of the league was 4-5.
Yeah, that's not
specifically
good.
And this week, there are fewer winning records than I think I've ever seen before. If you count the 500 records as not winning records,
which they aren't,
there are only 9 teams, I believe, with winning records in the NFL.
For those of you that can't do math, Ray Wood, that's a 25% of
the
league.
It helps that we're in an even week, so there's a bunch of 5-5s contributing to that. But it's pretty bad. Like the teams. I have this feeling this year that the league is unusually top-heavy. That's why we had 4 or 5 undefeated teams for so long, and we still have two undefeated teams, and the result of that is that other people's averages are
bad. Yeah.
And I'm not giving up on the Jets. I still think they're a wild card team.
I am not giving up on the Jets. I do think it might be time to give up on Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's, experiment is just not...
Yeah.
Looking great.
But their other option is Geno Smith. Is that going to be better? Maybe.
Maybe. I honestly, I have no idea. It depends on how he comes back from being punched in the face really hard by his own team.
Which is a tough one to come back from, honestly, from a leadership perspective.
If he could knock that off, he'd probably be in way better shape.
So, James, that's a lot about their real-life defense. Tell us for fantasy. I assume there's useful players here, because their defense is decent.
There are actually a couple. So, as I mentioned, both Marcuses, Marcus Gilchrist and Marcus Williams, are completely startable defensive backs in our league. Gilchrist is actually eligible at cornerback/safety.
Nice.
Which is nice, because then you can fit him into wherever you need.
Well, more importantly, you can put him in the cornerback slot.
Yeah, because, and get more points because cornerbacks don't score as many points as safeties do. Muhammad Wilkerson is the fourth best defensive end in our scoring format, which pretty is good. Pretty good. Sheldon Richardson.
It's especially good because he missed. No, he didn't.
Miss he didn't time. Miss that was the other Sheldon, one. Richardson Sheldon Richardson was suspended for 4 games, and then he came back, and now he's hurt. When he's healthy, he's good. But right now he's not healthy, so that's a problem. But also, David Harris, their star middle linebacker, he's completely startable. Easily a number one linebacker in our nice. Format. He's racking up tackles like it's nobody's business.
And ancient.
And ancient, which is so also fun. Hilarious. You know that I love ancient players.
I do.
Since Charles Woodson is arguably the star of my defensive team.
Yeah, and he's season. Been very good.
He's been surprisingly good. I've noted, I was going through some of our stuff in our league. The Jets are tied for a team that we own the most players from. Like, okay. Our league owns the most players nice. In. Tied with St. Louis and Denver.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are three good defenses.
Yeah.
The system works.
Sometimes the system works. Yeah.
James, you were saying in the prep that the Jets cut Quentin Coples. You want to guess who claimed him?
It's the Washington Reds.
It's the Dolphins, of course.
It's the Dolphins, of course. Oh, my gosh.
It was meant to be. You think they'll put him in this week against the Jets?
I guarantee you he starts.
You know what? They almost need to because they need the sacks.
They need the sacks. I guarantee you that he starts and he strip sacks Ryan Fitzpatrick and runs it back for a touchdown.
You're saying that we're back to needlessly specific predictions. We are back to
needlessly specific predictions, listeners. And all right, that do you one...
wanna, should we predict any other turnovers for this game? So we've got one. Quentin Coples strip sacks and returns for a touchdown.
More than 40 yards, though. It's going to be like at midfield that it happens.
I'm going to give Brent Grimes one.
Okay.
That's two for the Dolphins. Maybe we're saying the Dolphins are going to win this one.
I think the Dolphins are going to win this one. I think that's what this means. Yeah.
All right. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Darrell Revis will catch an interception, but he will be injured and sitting on the bench, so it will be ruled an illegal touching,
I think. And he has a concussion anyway, so
he shouldn't.
More likely than not, he'll be on the bench. He can catch an interception concussed on the bench.
Yeah, definitely. He's that level of elite.
And it's a home game, so it's not like he won't travel down there because of the concussion. He'll be able to be there. Yeah. So I think that's a good prediction. So we've predicted two turnovers and one not quite a turnover for this coming game.
Yes. Dolphins, swim, Dolphins, swim, as they say.
I mean, that's not what they say, as you know.
Oh, yes.
Miami and the Dolphins, the greatest football team. They'll bring the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. They're in the air, they're on the ground, they're always in control. And when we say Miami, we're talking Super Bowl. All right, James. We've got to offer some pickups. Fantasy playoffs are coming.
Yeah.
We really should kind of look for players who can kind of change your trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really look at players who have an opportunity to be contributors to a title run for you.
Yeah.
And that's why I have to recommend a pass rusher from the Miami Dolphins. I just have to.
Do it.
I still think Olivier Vernon is probably the best option.
I think he is,
you
too.
You can get him.
And
he probably can.
His numbers may not look very good, but he's been playing hurt a lot of the season, too. And he's starting to get healthy now. So there's a decent chance that his numbers will be more... His numbers lately are more indicative of his production than
in the beginning
of the season.
You know, if you're looking for that position, I think that's the player I'm targeting this week. Just the opportunity. I know there'll be more double teams and all that, but there's still Sue to deal with. You know what I mean? They can't just totally focus on him. So I think Olivier Vernon's my pick for defensive ends for this week. And for the rest of the season, too. Just in terms of looking at your playoffs, I think that's the one that I want to be picking up. James, let me recommend some cornerbacks for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend, and I don't know if I've ever done this, both cornerbacks from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know what? That
would be Aaron Colvin, Devon House.
I like them both. I like them both of those picks.
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually pretty good. They're not, like, great.
No,
but they're decent.
Their defense is their strong suit, and they are, you know, definitely decent this year.
Yeah, and that's going to be a fun one to preview when we get around to it. But I just think both of those guys, they've had good weeks the last couple weeks. They've been fairly reliable with tackle numbers. And I really don't think, you know, if you're looking for a cornerback fill-in, I would prefer Aaron Colvin just slightly, although I think Devon House is kind of the bigger play guy, so if you are looking for volatility, if you're projected to lose your matchup and you need kind of a bit of a miracle, I think I would go with Devon House. But yeah, I think that's my cornerback recommendation. I like both of those guys. I think they're both solid enough to be contributors for your team.
I know we talked about it last week, but I just want to say again that the New Orleans Saints, they fired Rob Ryan. They're coming off a bye. This defense could have some serious fire lit under them. I think that this week is going to be spectacular for the New Orleans defense, because no one's going to have tape on what this defense looks like. No one's going to be able to plan around how this defense likes to play the ball, because no one knows how this defense likes to play. So I'm looking for big games out of everybody on New Orleans.
Yeah, right? And they've got a decent matchup, too,
at Houston. They do, at Houston. It's looking pretty good. The return of Hoyer the Destroyer. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm just thinking, like, Cameron Jordan is probably already starting on your team, probably already owned.
Probably.
In your league, but if he's not, take a good week on him. And this is a good week on those New Orleans linebackers, like Hawali Kikaha.
Yep. Yeah.
Stephon Anthony. And I, you know what, I'm going to take, this is going to be my, since this is a week of bizarrely specific projections, right? Jairus Byrd.
Yeah, I was
just
looking at
this.
It's going
to have a comeback. It's going to be right now. He's going to have a resurgence in both fantasy and the real life, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to pick off. He's already sort of doing it. That he was out for 3 weeks at the beginning of the year, and then he goes 3, 3.5, 2.5, 3. 8.5, 10.5, 7.5.
Yeah.
He's already on the... You think he steps up to that next level?
I think he does. I think this week, if you... It's high upside for Jairus Byrd. Like, he's got something to prove. The New Orleans defense has got something to prove to themselves, to their new coach. Like, they're gonna be a whole new unit, and they're gonna score you a whole lot of points.
Sounds reasonable to me. Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and The Dirt. You can get their album in all the normal album places. Album stores. Album barns.
Mm-hmm. Album hole in your backyard.
Yeah. If you have a 3D printer, you can probably print their album just straight out.
Yeah, actually.
If you have a CD burner, you can definitely print their album straight out.
That is for true.
But you have to have a...
If you have a 3D printer but can't figure out how to print their album out, print yourself a CD burner.
That's a good idea. In fact, if you have a 3D printer, you can print yourself Ned in the Dirt.
Yeah.
Just straight out. I think that's how that works.
I think we'll get in touch with them tonight and see if they can't upload themselves.
Yeah, we'll get you. Website. Yeah, we'll try to get the schematics out there for you.
We'll get you Ned in the Dirt blueprints.
Yeah, I think
the Dirt part's easy. It's the Ned part that's the hard
Ned part's
one.
Harder, for sure. Yeah. All right, James. Hit of the week.
Hit of the week.
Do we have a hit of the week?
I was going to suggest, in our usual fashion, a non-offensive non-defensive
hit of
the week.
I like myself a good non-defensive hit of the week.
I think, well, it's a little bit of a, it's kind of a defensive hit of the week, right? So what I'm going to say is, this week we had some exciting scoring plays in the NFL, right?
We did.
Including a rushing touchdown from noted favorite of the podcast, Dontari Poe.
Yes, perfect.
The defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs.
He became, as I'm sure you read, the heaviest player in the NFL to ever score a rushing touchdown, as far as we know.
That is correct. Yeah, as far as we can keep stats on that kind of stuff.
And to be honest, no one was over 350 pounds before we could keep stats on this stuff.
No.
We're pretty sure about that. So he is very likely the heaviest player to ever score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, we've been down on Dontari Poe, and we just did the Chiefs last week, and we basically said you should play Jai Howard instead because he's doing better.
Yeah.
But, if you're in a league and you started Dontari Poe, and you got credit for that rushing touchdown, send us a screenshot and we'll acknowledge you on the podcast. That would be podcast@alanjackaway.com for that.
Do you think it happened because Dontari Poe is a longtime listener to the podcast?
So.
And he went to the coach afterwards and he says, "Coach,
they've given up on me,
and I can't have that. You gotta get me in this game somehow." And Andy Reid says, "You know what?
I
know how to do this." Yeah.
Yeah, nothing better than seeing a 350 guy jump over the line.
Yeah.
That was the most impressive part, because I saw on Twitter it had happened before I actually saw it, and then when I watched the video and saw that he went over the line, I was like, that's great.
It's
that's
amazing.
Really, really great.
That's just, yeah. All of my hats, I own like 4, and they are all off to Dontari Poe.
There you
right
go.
Now.
All right, very good. We will be back next week with one of our patented cross-country podcasts. From Alan.
And James.
Stay low.